everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. And it is already March 1st. It's kind of hard to believe. But we have a great article for you today on our book and our speed review called Sprint. And I have a couple of great panelists with me in our studio today to help discuss this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Linda C., and I'm very happy to be here today.
And I'm Simon. I'm also happy to be here, but I'm also excited about discussing this book because I think even though a lot of the solutions it offers are probably pretty common sense, especially for people who are problem-solving people, I think this book gives you a way to focus on how to use the skills you might already have. And so I think that's very useful and exciting.
And I'm Linda also, Linda L., and I thought this article was very interesting, and especially for people in business, it really gives you a new perspective so you don't, you know, end up having endless debates about a topic. And this is dealing really with customers' problems and how to help them and how to help your company solve them.
We were talking about that actually just before we got on the air here, how this introduction could be a little misleading or confusing if you read it in the wrong way, because it tells us here that this is a new method for solving your customers' problems in just 5 days. And some of us thought that maybe what that means is you're helping your customers solving problems, solving their problems, their complaints, responding to things like that. But that's not really what it is. Really what we're talking about is improving our own products so that our products can better help our customers and not cause problems for our customers.
And also, I want to point out to everyone that this customers is plural. So it's not just one customer. It's dealing with a range or a broader perspective than just talking about one person's problems.
Yeah, and I guess that makes sense, especially if you're a person who is in business. Business people tend to know that your customers' problems are always your problems too, right? So solving problems is something that helps both you and your customers.
Well, I think we can use this on a wide range of situations outside of business as well. So let's take a look at it. If you have your Advanced magazine, let's read in the left-hand column on page 10. And if you have your digital device, you might want to turn to this article, Sprint.
Sprint, a new method for solving your customers' problems in just 5 days. In a new book, Sprint, Google veteran Jake Knapp and his Google Ventures co-authors John Zaratsky and Braden Cowitz insist that it is possible to focus on a problem, consider different solutions, choose one, prototype the solution, and test it on customers in just 5 days. The Sprint process, as it is called, has been applied hundreds of times for companies in which Google's venture capital arm has invested. Sprint offers a detailed step-by-step guide to successful sprints.
So first of all, I want to point out that this is a book review, and this book has been on the New York Times and Wall Street Journal's bestseller list for some time now. And we notice that this is coming out of Google Venture.
Yeah, and since it is from Google, it must be correct because they are slowly taking over the world of business. So we would be wise to listen carefully.
So if it says they're a Google veteran, what does that mean?
He's been here at Google for a long time.
Okay, and we see that there are a couple of, well, there's Jake Knapp and his Google Ventures. Okay, so let's just talk about these terms. What is Google Ventures?
Well, I think the term they're using now is actually GV, which
right.
Of course means Google Ventures. The idea there, venture, it's actually the root word in the word adventure. So the idea is you're doing something, a project that might be a little risky, might be a little exciting. And basically what this means is they're new special projects that Google is taking a risk on.
Right, so they're providing money and our capital, we can say, and helping them to get going, basically. So they have a couple of co-authors here, and they insist that if you focus on a problem, you can look at different solutions and come up with a solution in 5 days. And there are certain steps they're talking about here.
Yeah, that's right. They do mention a number of different steps. They say it helps you focus on a problem, consider different solutions, choose one, obviously one solution, prototype the solution, and test it on customers. And prototype, of course, is one of our specialized terms for today.
Right, and usually we think of it as a noun, but here, how do we see it used, Linda?
It's used as a verb, so it's to make the first sample of something. So a prototype as a noun is the first working model or version of something.
So you're going to choose one of these solutions, and then you're going to try to put it into, well, not try to, they're going to look at how, putting it into practice and then testing it on customers.
Right. Sometimes when we give a list of steps like this, if you are not a native English speaker, you find yourself focusing on the steps in the sentence. But in this sentence in particular, I think the focus is actually the very end there where they say, in just 5 days. So the emphasis here is really on the speed of this process, how much you can accomplish in a short time. And I think that's interesting because of the name of the book and this article. The name is, of course, Sprint, which has a very special meaning.
Right, and it means a burst of speed or activity. And when we think of sprint in world of athletics, it's a short race that's done at a very fast speed. For example, the 100-meter race, the reigning sprinter happens to be a Jamaican, also in the women's and men's. Just want to add that, yeah, because, you know.
The same runner?
Well, no.
The women's and
men's. Champions.
Yeah, two champions.
Two champions.
Sorry. So just like prototype, sprint can be a verb or a noun.
Right. So actually that race is called, they call it a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they are sprinting.
Exactly.
So we look at the solution here. We should have a solution. Actually not even a solution. They should be trying it in 5 days. Usually when we are talking about customers' problems, sometimes, you know, you can debate what you should do forever, you know. And here they're talking about fast-forwarding into the future to see the product and to see the solution and to get customer feedback. So that's the ultimate goal of the sprint process.
Yes, this process is all about efficiency, reducing the amount of time that's normally used to address a problem and come up with solutions. And each of these steps, this five-step process, each step should take 1 day. Like, so in the end, it'll be done in 5 days.
So people that are on these teams that they put together are really focusing on the issue here. And they say that they've used this, the sprint process, that's what they call it, has been applied hundreds of times for companies in which Google's venture capital arm has invested. And we're looking at venture capital here again. It's a specialized term. Simon, what does this mean?
Well, it's very similar to what we were saying when we talked about the name of the company, which was Google Ventures. So venture here is the same as there. It's something that's a little risky, similar to an adventure. And here specifically, capital refers to money. So venture capital is money you are investing in something new, maybe something that's a little risky. So you're investing in a new idea or kind of thing.
Right, and we see that they have used it on their own venture capital investments. And they, as Linda said earlier, they give a step-by-step guide to successful sprints. And so here we're seeing it used again as a noun. So they're calling this process, this five-day process, a sprint. So let's take a look at the next section here, and we're going to start on Monday. You know, this is when it all begins. So let's start reading in the middle of page 10, left-hand column.
Monday, when it all begins. On Monday, for example, the Sprint team, a small group with a multifunctional background, will map out the problem and choose a target on which to focus. The first step is to set the long-term goal. This is followed by listing sprint questions that question assumptions and lay out obstacles in the form of questions. The next step is mapping. The key to successful mapping, according to the authors, is to keep it simple. The map, created on a whiteboard, is customer-centric. The key customers are listed along the left margin, with the rest of the space dedicated to a drawing that recreates the customer experience from beginning to end. Arrows are valuable here. The next step, ask the experts, consists of interviews with people who have the knowledge to provide ideas to the problems first laid out in the sprint questions and highlighted by the map. Sprint is filled with snappy little brainstorming techniques, and one of them appears in the Ask the Experts portion of the process, the HMW note. The members of the sprint team use post-it notes to ask how might we questions of the expert that address the unknowns or concerns that have arisen. Expect the map to be redrawn as the experts reveal unexpected problems or offer unexpected solutions. Monday ends with choosing the target. The map has been redrawn and is by now plastered with HMW sticky notes, and now the team chooses one particular aspect of the customer experience on which to focus.
So first of all, we're looking at who actually makes up a sprint team within an organization. And it's a small group. I think that's kind of important because in English we say too many cooks spoil the broth, right? So too many people.
Too many people
totally
in the kitchen
true.
Will, yeah.
You're hearing laughter here, listeners, because we have all been in meetings with too many people.
And everybody wants to make the decision. Right?
Yeah.
Or you
or
just get
waiting.
Too many ideas, you know, then it's overwhelming.
So they don't really say how many people make up a small group, but I think it's interesting they describe what kind of people it should be. A small group with a multifunctional background. And multi means many, so multifunctional means what, Linda?
Right, they might have different educational, different experiences so that they can come with a different perspective.
Okay. And this team is going to do what?
Well, they're basically going to focus on the problem, choose a target, it says, on which to focus. And so I guess the language here is actually pretty general because you can use this for any kind of problem.
Right.
So, for example, if you own a restaurant and your customers don't like your food, I guess you could choose a multifunctional team that includes maybe a marketing person and maybe one of the servers and maybe a chef. So those people all have different roles. If you're doing an engineering problem, maybe you choose different kinds of engineers and managers. Just multifunctional people from different backgrounds that have different skills that are related to focus on which problem they're going to try to solve.
And also, I think, let's take a look at the word map out the problem. So that just really means define it clearly and look at all the aspects of it. But I think it's interesting that this process says that they choose a target on which to focus, which makes you realize you cannot solve every aspect of everything all the time. So they're going to be looking at one in particular. So the first step is to set the long-term goal. I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, what is the goal? I mean, the goal we would say is to solve the problem, right? But why would they be doing that at this step?
Well, I think it's because actually in any problem, there can be a lot of different parts to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're trying to pick specifically one very narrow problem. So for example, if you have a hard time responding to your customers. So if they're sending in customer service requests, but it's taking you 2 days to respond and you think that might be a problem, there might be a bunch of different reasons that's happening, a bunch of different problems. So you're picking one very specific one to focus on.
Okay. And then after you have set the long-term goal, then what's the next step, Linda?
Then you list sprint questions, and we see sprint questions in quotations there. So what are these questions? They're questions that question assumptions. Our assumptions are things that we take for granted, maybe that we just accept without proof or without question. So sprint questions want to question those things that we just accept without questioning. And also lay out obstacles in the form of questions. So instead of just saying, okay, this is the problem, or, you know, this is what we need to address, they put it into a question form.
So to give an example of that, using again our illustration or our example of slow customer service response times, one of the assumptions by customer service might be that they have up to 2 days to respond to a customer. And so you could ask why they assume that they have 2 days. Why not 3 days? Why not 1 day? And so you could examine that in depth. And then you could, of course, look at the obstacles, like what is it that prevents us from answering customer questions in 1 day instead of 2 days?
Right. So that's the obstacles that question your assumptions. Okay. And then we go to mapping.
My favorite part of the process, everyone, just so you know.
Right. Yes, whenever I go into to talk to Simon, he always like whips out or takes out a piece of paper and maps out everything he says.
I am a huge fan of mind mapping. We've done articles about mind mapping, lots of lessons about that before. Look it up. It'll make you efficient.
If you're a visual learner, then it is very, very helpful. And so I think by doing this, what says the next step is mapping, it makes it very clear for everyone on the team exactly what's going on, what the issue is, who it involves, and all of the steps. And we'll look at this piece by piece. But so basically mapping is also one of our specialized terms, and it just means making a drawing with elements that symbolize something else, okay?
Yeah, so you basically put little pictures in circles with words in them on the whiteboard.
You can tell Simon loves this.
Yeah.
So we see that you have to keep it simple. If you make an extremely complicated map, you're going to lose everybody already. The point of mapping is to simplify what you're doing so everybody can see it clearly.
The other thing they're encouraging, though, is that you have to keep this map customer-centric.
Mm-hmm.
And the root word of centric there is center, meaning you want to keep your customers in the middle of what you're doing, or the focal point, the thing you're focusing on throughout. And they tell you you do that by listing the major customers along the left margin, which means just down the left side of the map.
Well, I think you said major customers. It says here the key customers, and I think that the difference would be key is the ones that are actually experiencing the problem that you're looking at, because maybe some of your major customers don't have an issue with something in particular, right? Would that be right?
Right.
We just want to focus on the importance of customers. That's what we're saying. So small customers could be one circle down the left side. Big customers could be another. Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at the rest of the space. So you have this list on the left side, and then you have a drawing, and that drawing is supposed to recreate the customer experience from beginning to end.
Yeah, now I tend to think of this as actually being a flow chart, which is maybe a specialized word that hasn't been written in here. The idea of a flow chart is that it takes you step by step through the customer's experience. So maybe first they call you, what do they hear, what happens then? What happens next? What's the third thing that happens? What happens after that? And so you just go through step by step.
So then we can look back and see why it's important to have a multifunctional group, because not everybody knows which steps are all of the steps that a customer experiences. But if you have people representing different levels within your company or organization, then you'll see what happens at different levels. And that will enable you to write your flowchart accurately, so you can really see what's going on.
Yeah, the advantage of the flowchart here is that it should make very clear to you whether the process that you are using is, first of all, simple or complicated, but more importantly, it should make it fairly clear which points in the process are causing problems.
Well, but I think that that's what this is leading up to, because there might be problems that people within the organization don't perceive as a problem, and that's why you go on to this next step, which is ask the experts. And it's kind of interesting that it says that you interview people that have knowledge so they can give ideas to the problems. And then they are highlighted by the map, which is what you're saying.
My understanding of that was a little different. I thought that once you had mapped out the process and you knew where the problems were, experts could sort of explain to you why they were problems and maybe give you insight into other problems that were causing those problems.
Could be.
Problems causing problems. I guess we're all going to have to buy the book and, and read it to make sure we really know what's going on, right?
Well, we see that we have, in the book, it tells you there are snappy little brainstorming techniques. So if we think about snappy.
That's something that's effective. That would be a synonym of snappy. And when I think of snappy, this adjective, I think of commercials. Like, if a commercial is snappy, it's going to be catchy, it's going to get your attention, and it's going to be effective, which is to, the whole purpose is to get your attention.
Right, and it's immediate. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, you don't think about it for days. You know, it gets your attention immediately. And brainstorming techniques. So one of them appears in the Ask the Expert portion of the process, the HMW note. And I know everybody's going, what's HMW?
I'll be honest. I thought it was a typing mistake and that this was HMV, the clothing company. But before I circled it in red, I realized that it explains what they are talking about on the very next line.
Right. And what is it?
Well, they just say it's the how might we questions.
Yeah, I think this is great, actually. When I was like, what in the world is HMW? I started reading back in the article that I previously read looking for it, and I was like, okay, it's not there, before I read on. So this is, as Simon said earlier, we were talking about why did they put this first without saying what it was, maybe to get your attention, to make you, you know, want to read further instead of going backward.
In the communications business, we sometimes call this a teaser, mm-hmm. which means like you're teasing someone to make them want to read more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I guess the point here is that you are discussing with the expert the problem, regardless of what you're talking about with the expert. You're talking about the problem. And so these are basically little notes that are questions your team is asking the expert about how you might deal with the problem.
Right. And what is the result of that?
Well, it says, expect the map to be redrawn as experts reveal unexpected problems or offer unexpected solutions.
I think that's what we're looking for here. You know, to me, that is the whole purpose of this Monday, is to find out the unexpected, what you haven't really thought of yet or your team hasn't thought of.
To analyze the problem.
Well, yeah, and also to offer these unexpected solutions, because usually we look within our organization to find something or for at one person, and here we see that we're probably going to come up with, well, unexpected is the key word here, things that we've never thought of before.
Right, and by getting outside expertise, you have a better chance of doing that.
Right. And then how does Monday end, Linda?
Well, Monday ends with choosing the target. So the map has been redrawn and, well, it says in parentheses, is plastered or is just filled with all of these sticky notes, you know, questioning how might we. And then the team chooses one particular aspect of the customer service experience to focus on.
Okay. And notice how Linda switched that around, because the article reads on which to focus. So this is just a more formal way of writing. If we're talking, usually we would put that preposition at the end of the sentence, right, which to focus on.
Right.
I want to point out that it's one particular aspect. So this never says that they're going to solve all problems. Do you think this is effective? Just day one. Simon, what do you think?
I have not yet tried it, but I do like the map part.
I know.
We've established that.
So I'm willing to try.
What do you think, Linda? I think that just identifying actually the areas and looking at things that you haven't even thought of before is very, very helpful.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, here we're emphasizing speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
The most effective, the most efficient way. And so when you focus just on one aspect, then you're going to be able to solve it quickly.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Honestly, I think probably our listeners will have to join us tomorrow to find out what's going to happen for the rest of this sprint week.
Yes.
I think so. So we invite you all back. and we have four more days to go. So now we've identified the problem. Let's find out where we go from there. So we hope to have you with us again tomorrow, and we need to say goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.